just don't want to give Christmas up, do we? I have no problems with that. We're going to be in the book of Genesis today. If y'all will go ahead and turn there, going old school. First book, Genesis. While y'all turn there, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 13. While y'all turn there, I want to ask you a question. Do you think you would count yourself as a blessed individual? Say amen. Amen. And just for clarity purposes, if you consider yourself not blessed, would you say amen? Okay, just making sure I know my audience and y'all. Maybe it's just me, but I read an article one time, and there are very few things that really shocked me, because I have it in my mind, the definitions of words and phrases and understandings, and then somebody says something, and then it doesn't quite fit with how I understand something. I have never been a rich individual. Can I get an amen from all my poor people? Amen. Just knowing my audience. I've never considered myself to be wealthy. But I remember reading an article. They says, listen, do you live in a house? I said, yes. And it says, do you have a car? I said, yes. Do you have a refrigerator? I said, yes. It says, then you're the 1% richest people in the world. Now, just let that sink in. I live in a country where if I need it, I can buy it. And I have a job that provides me with enough money to buy the things to which I need. My family has never gone to bed hungry, out of choice. We have never had any wanting or needing. If I needed something, I could go and buy it. And if I couldn't have the money to buy it or had the ability to buy it, I always had friends that could let me lend that product or that thing for me. Or most times, they just give it to me. I consider myself not wealthy, but very blessed. Not for any other reason outside of the place to which I live and the things to which I have. It's an amazing thing to wake up every morning and to know that everything that I would fret over is already taken care of, either by God or by the blessings He's given me. Today's message, I want to call it Blessed and Abiding. We talked about abiding last week, and I want to stay on this theme for a little bit, and that is staying with Christ, staying with this relationship that we have with Him. But there is something that I think is very clear and very frightening if we will just apply it personally. And that is most people who are blessed forget to abide. How many of you take for granted the things that you've had in your life? And I'm telling you, the Christian life is just like that. And there is a fear, there is a very real fear there for people who are blessed that we forget where our blessings come from. And we move away from those blessings thinking that all we're doing is chasing more blessings. We see this in Genesis chapter 13. If you will, please stand. We'll just read 9 verses together. Stand in honor of reading His word. Genesis chapter 13, we're going to read verses 5 through verse 13. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the lands was not able to bear them, and they might dwell together. And their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled there then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And thou wilt take the left hand, then I will take the right. Or if thou depart from the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot cast him and all plants into Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and separated themselves from one to another. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And all things seemed good up to this point. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, nobody in their right mind is going to choose a desert over a lush land. Amen? Anybody with any common sense is going to choose the well-watered plains. And that wasn't the problem. The problem was pitching his tent somewhere where it wasn't supposed to be pitched. It wasn't the gaining, it wasn't the blessings. It was the inward of leaving where he was. He did not abide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this text. We thank you for the reading of it. May you stamp it upon our hearts, and may we never forget what you teach us here today. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I've lived long enough to double down on my first point and to say it with as much gusto as I possibly could. Being blessed does not mean we make good decisions. Amen? Amen. Just because I'm blessed doesn't mean I've made good decisions. Matter of fact, I've made a lot of bad decisions, and I'm still blessed. And there's so much that could be said here, and I can take this with a grain of salt, and I you can disagree with me on this point, and that's okay. I am not a self-made man. Never have been, don't claim to be, and I'm never going to promote that in my life. Every little blessing that I have has been given to me either by a professor, by my parents, by my neighbors, by my wife. Every blessing that I have was given to me by somebody else. The ring that my wife wears was a gift. The truck that I drive was half paid by my mom. The house to which I live in is not mine, it's the church's. The clothes that which I wear are clothes that have meant something to me or somebody gave me. This is my wedding suit. And I still fit in it. I don't know if that was a shock or a jab. It was both. Everything. I mean, and literally, the more I think about it, and maybe it's just me, but I don't take gifts lightly. If I have something that's not mine, that was a gift, I remember. I have pieces of papers with scribbles on it from my youth group in South Carolina over 10 years ago. I don't throw them away because they're special to me, because they are gifts. There's something that somebody gave. Every tie, every cufflink, every suit, every shirt, every time something is in my life that's a gift, I cherish it. Now, granted, some of those things I have to throw out. They get broke. They get holes in it. I can't keep them anymore. But the things that are gifts, I hold to, and I cherish them. My children also are in that. I couldn't have them without Beck. That is a 50-50 deal there. Beck couldn't have them without me, and I couldn't have them without Beck. And I could have none of them without God. My church members, every single one of you, I count you as blessings, but I would have never met you unless God put me right here. There is so much that I can count myself as blessings, but they haven't been because I made the right choices. They were because God laid it on other people's lives to bless me and have me be a part of their lives. Lot had an interesting thing here. Lot was the nephew of Abram, who we would later call Abraham. Abram was this patriarch of the family even before his father died. He was one of these main individuals. At 75 years old, he took up everything him and his family left and moved out of the land of idols, the place where they grew up, and his parents made idols to this place. It is an incredibly dark story of where they began to where they're leaving. And when God called Abram out of it, he didn't just say, hey, I'm going to go a one-man show here. I'm done with y'all, and I'm done with these things. God's called me out, and I just want to save what's mine, and the rest of y'all can do whatever. He uprooted his entire family. Why? Because this was his life. Now, granted, everybody had a choice, and we'll learn about that later. And I want this to sink in. Everybody in that family has a choice. But Abram said, hey, God has called me away from this place. I want you to come with me. And it says in many occasions between chapter 12 to chapter 14, these people followed after Abram. Why? Because he was led by God, and that was authority placed upon him. It was just evident that God was in his life. And they left.
Going back to our text, if you'll look at Genesis chapter 13, look at the first verse with me, verse 5. Verse 5 says, "And Lot also went with Abram, and he had flocks and herds and tents." This was a family legacy. This was not just Lot's work. This was everything that had handed down to him, and it was his. He was the ruler of his own kingdom, but these things, these blessings, were not just something he just pitched out of thin air. He was given to him. He worked for him. His family worked for him and handed it down. These were very wealthy individuals who were given this responsibility to herd these flocks and to build these tents. What's an amazing thing when you look at this, I don't want us to get past this. Lot was very blessed. Do y'all see that? Lot was very blessed. So much so, let's continue reading. Look at verse 6. He says, "And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." That means that you and your neighbor had so much stuff that you started to pile it onto each other because you had nowhere else to put it. Think, let that sink in. Like you're sharing a shed because you just have so much stuff. And then you're continually growing and they say, "Listen, we can't live like this anymore. We need to separate so that we can know what we're doing. So that we can take an account of everything that we have." Let me throw another verse at you real quick. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. In the second half of that verse, it says, "For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." By testimony of everybody in this room, you said, "I am blessed." It's about high time we take account of our blessings and we recognize what God wants us to do with those blessings. Abraham and Lot were so blessed and so grown with each other. There was so much that they were doing that they had grown together and they had all this stuff, these blessings that were attached to people, attached to it. And what I love, let's go on a little bit further. Look at verse 7. I love this. And this is not part of my sermon, but I can't help but preach it. He says, "And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle." Was Abram angry? Say it with me. No. Was Lot angry? No. It was the herdsmen. It was the subordinates. It was the employees. Because you had two companies at this point. Think of it like this. You had a company over here and a company over here, and they're battling for territory. Well, I need a grace here. Well, I need a grace here. This is the only grass for 20 miles. I need this place. Well, I need it too. And they were in tension one with another. And then he goes on to say, "And the Canaanites, the Perizzites, dwelt in the land," verse 8, "and Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife." Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy men, for we are brethren." Were they fighting? No, but other people were fighting, and they said, "Hey, let's fix this. There has to be no tension between my company and your company. There needs to be no tension between our families. There's no reason for it. Listen, the whole land is before us. The whole world is ours. We just have to move." It's a simple solution to a big problem. Y'all see that? Now, granted, if we lived in today's society, I'm going to tell you exactly what would happen. "Well, I'm not moving. I was here first." "Well, I'm not moving. That would require a lot of effort on my part, and I'm just going to stay right here." So they met in the middle. We both move. Either you move left and I move right, or you move right and I'll move left. We can't continue with bickering and fighting amongst us. He was the bigger man and just saw a problem coming ahead of itself and said, "Listen, I don't want this to be an issue. I love people who can come to me and say, 'Preacher, there's no problems as of yet, but I don't want this to be an issue. I see something coming the way that it might have an impact on our relationship, and I just want you to know I don't want that to be an issue. I want to fix this, and I want to get ahead of the curve, and I want to fix the problem before it becomes a problem.'" And so Abram and Lot, these uncle and nephew, are continually trying to be the best men that they possibly can. It praises and lauds these two men for everything that they've done up to this point. I believe we are blessed. Blessed beyond our wildest dreams as a nation, as a people, as a church, as an individual. I count our church as one of the most blessed churches I've ever been a part of. There's something that I want us to see here. If I believe I am this blessed, and I don't have the problems that most people do, It's not about if I'm going through the issues or if I'm going through the problems or if I've got COVID, but if I can be a blessing to other people in their strife, I want to. Abram didn't have a problem, but his people did, so he wanted to fix it. Lot didn't have the problem, but his people did, so he wanted to fix that. If you count yourselves as one of the blessed individuals, look at yourselves and take account of how you can bless others. Now listen, we've got a lot of people in our church right now that are going through sickness. Some of it's COVID, some of it's just the sniffles and the coastal Carolina crud. Amen? Carteret County crud, sorry. Some of it's just these little things, but I'm telling you, even if you get the sniffles, even right now, I've seen on people's faces, when somebody sneezed earlier, I saw faces. Preacher just said COVID. We're all gone at this point. Just drop a nuclear bomb right here and microwave everybody. If we can recognize, listen, and there's a bunch of them, and y'all know them, people that aren't here. Call them. Tell me this. If you would like this to be happening, if you're stuck in your house for 2 weeks and you can't leave, how much would you think it'd be a blessing if somebody says, hey, can I get some groceries for you? Listen, call me up. And if you don't want me to do it, fine, I'll get somebody else. There's a lot of people in this church who would willingly go by and pick up your prescriptions, go by and pick up your groceries, and drop them off your door so you can be safe. I hear a couple amens. I want y'all to hear that. That's not amening to me. They're amening you. They care about you, and they want you to thrive, and they want you to be good because they recognize their blessings, how they have good health, and they are able to be a blessing to somebody else. This is something that we need to look at. As an individual, we need to look at our blessings, take stock of our lives, and if we're not in the struggle, go to somebody who isn't going to struggle and help them. If I notice these blessings that I have, I must be held accountable for such things. In Luke 12:48, it says, much shall be required. Not required by its fellow man. He talks about that later in the verse. But much is required between us and God. If you're healthy, praise God about it when you go home today. If you're able to stand 6 feet tall, well, most of you. If you're able to stand and walk and if you have an appetite, can I get an amen? If you can taste your food, that's the absolute worst thing about COVID. I haven't had COVID, but I can only imagine if I lost the taste for food, I would want to shoot myself in the foot. There is so much that we can do about blessing others and helping others, even if we are blessed. My second point. The first one is that acknowledge our blessings and to be a blessing to others. The second one is the world does offer plenty, wealth, and ease. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. When Moses was tempted, it says that Moses, he says he denied the pleasures of sin for a season. Continue with me in these verses. Look at verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take to the left, then I will take to the right. And if thou depart from the right hand, I will take the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, listen, he says, and beheld the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. How many of you catch where that phrase is? It was like Eden. Those stories were not gone to this generation. This was perfection. He says, he looked out. They were meeting in the middle in these vast lands where they could spread out. He says, and the closer it got to town, the more beautiful it is. How many of y'all know that beautiful land is where people migrate to? That's why Moorhead's growing. It's a beautiful place to live. It's okay. You know, but everybody, yep, okay. He did this. It's a beautiful place, and people want to be where the beauty is. And this place was the utmost beauty in all the land. It was like the garden of God. It was Eden in itself. Beautiful. Rivers overflowing. Grass as green as anything else. The buildings were strong and tall. The people were there. And then the other part, further away from town, it was thinner. What I find most beautiful about this note is that Abram said, hey, I don't care. I can make it, which should be our mentality.
Paul later wrote, he says, whether I am blessed or whether I am famished, I know to where I can be. He says, I am constantly aware of my blessings, and I will continue therein. He says, whether I be rich, whether I be poor, whether I be healthy or sick, I will continue therein. Abram said, if you want the lush land, go for it. I want to go the other way because I don't want no strife between us. That was his priority. I want no strife between us. He gave Lot the decision. The elder, the uncle, gave the younger the decision. Let that sink in. How many of y'all, that doesn't fit with today's age, right? Respect your elders. Bless them. And I'm all for that. And listen, and I do it on a constantly basis. But the elder took the high road and said, I'm going to give you the choice. Whichever one you want. I love the book of James. The book of James has so much. Me and Brother Billy, we have that in common, don't we? We love that book. In the book of James, it tells us that there was a group of individuals who went to buy and to sell and to get gain. And there's nothing wrong with buying and selling and getting gain. Can I get an amen? There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with living off your blessings. There's nothing wrong with going out and supplying for your family and getting the best that this life has to offer. The problem was, is that those men did it without God. I want you to say this with me, and I want you to know this. Lot did not make a bad choice. Say that. Lot did not make a bad choice. In this scenario where he makes the wealthy lands, the healthy land, that's not a bad choice. Anybody who has cattle will go to where the grass is. I'm not going to choose the desert over the lush green land. Not going to happen. Any common individual with common knowledge is going to make that choice. Anybody who wants to make money, it's okay. It's fine. It's good. I want you to provide for your family. I want you to be wealthy. God wants you to be wealthy. Amen? But he's not going to put those things in honor if it's going to be something that's going to hinder us and hurt us. He gives us this choice. We can go after it and we can ignore him. We can go after it and we can still keep him. How many of y'all recognize that? We can still be rich and be holy. Amen? Amen. There's something here that I want us to really focus in on. And that is the good side of it. Notice that we don't see the wickedness or sinful men until the very end. Life's a lot like that. You ever made a decision thinking it was the best decision, and then months down the road, you're just like, I was an idiot. I was trying to find an easy way out. There's nothing wrong with the green lands. There was nothing wrong with trying to provide the best choice that he was given the option. Matter of fact, what I love about this, and I'm glad I didn't pass this up because I almost did. You have Abram and Lot, and Abram gives them a choice. If you want the good land, go for it, and I'll go this way. And if you want to go this way, I'll take the good land. If it had been reversed, do you think Abram would have failed? No. Why? Because it wasn't the choice that was bad. It was the pitching of the tent. We'll get to that in a second. The world is ours for the taking. The choices are ours to make. We can choose to live in wealth. We can choose to live in poverty. We can continue to make a name for ourselves and do the best for our families. Or we can choose to be mediocre at best. Life is very similar. We can make the best decisions, financial, beneficial, all these things. But there's sometimes where we do go too far and we lose the very thing that we were trying to keep. There's nothing. And I'm going to say this. Anybody else, you have a guilty conscience? Anybody? Just me? Just the preacher? That's probably why I'm the preacher. I preach to myself this because I have a great problem when somebody comes to my office and I'm not working. Anybody else, you're like that? You ever go somewhere and you see somebody sitting down on the bench and you're just like, they're lazy. That's how I feel. When somebody sees me and I'm not working, when I'm not doing something, when I'm not on visitation, when I'm not doing, I feel completely bad when people see me taking it easy. I'm going to say this to you, but I've written it down for me. It's okay to take the easy road. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us one day a week is called a day of rest. He put these things in the Bible for a reason. Matter of fact, on several occasions, he tells us to eat drink, and be smile for crying out loud. Eat that steak, amen? Drink that Dr. Pepper, woo! He tells us to have good in our lives and to take it, to gather up all this wealth and good and to not use it is foolish. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us a parable in the New Testament of an individual who did just that. He built up his barns and he filled them to the top. And he says, you know what I'll do? I'll build bigger barns and then I'll sit down and do nothing. And he accumulated and he accumulated. And what happened? God called him a fool. Today, your life will be taken. You've built it all up and now you can't use it. I'm going to tell you this, guys. You're not going to be able to take the beach with you to heaven. Let that sink in. That beach is temporary. The days of rest here are temporary. And I know people, they burn the candle at both ends and they work themselves to death. And listen, if that's you, God bless you. I've been that for most of my life and I'm learning now that's not the way that God's intended it. We need to understand that taking the easy road is not bad. Lot pitched his tent. He made an internal decision. This is where the whole sermon's going to swing, and I'm going to tell you what was wrong here. Lot pitched his tent. And that means, literally, that he woke up and went to bed looking at the city. Now, a lot of us think, well, that wasn't an external problem, but it shows us the internal problem. See, up to this point, I said all this sermon to get to this point. So if you're going to hear me about Lot's life and understand what was wrong here, you've got to understand this. Lot's whole life was given to him by Abram and his family. It was blessings and blessings. Every time God directed Abram, Lot followed. Every time God blessed Abram, Lot was blessed because of it. Everything that Abram did, he led and guided and directed his family up to this point. And now he's given Lot a little bit of rope. He said, listen, you're no longer under me. He says, you have grown above and beyond to equals with me. We can't continue to be in the same place. I'm going to let you be your own man. And so what he decided to do was he pitched his tent away from Abram and Abram's God. That's the problem. The words that's used here is not that it was just a literal sense. It's that, hey, I'm going to be looking at Sodom and Gomorrah for the rest of my life now. It was no, that I'm choosing to choose this over the way my uncle has taught me to live. Does that make sense to everybody now? Looking into the city, choosing the greens was not the problem. Choosing the easy path was not the problem. All things God has told us in His Word we should do. But the problem is that I chose the blessings over choosing where the blessings come from. That makes sense? As Christian people, we can get too wrapped up in our blessings and too wrapped up in the ways of life and too wrapped up in the easy road to when we forget and neglect our spiritual obligations to ourselves and to God. There's nothing wrong with the easy life. There was a great problem with choosing the world over God. I do not partake of the thought that if you live next to a bar, eventually you're going to become a drunk. Do y'all make that understanding? Just because I live next to somebody doesn't mean I'm going to be like them. I'm forced to live in this world with unholy people. Can I get an amen? Some people are closer than others. Doesn't mean I'm going to be like them. Reinforce this point. Abram knew this too. That's why Abram gave Lot the choice. I can handle that because God's with me. I'm not going to pitch my tent, and I'm not going to look to a world that offers things that I don't want. I'm going to pitch my tent to the God that's called me to this land. He said, I love this because Abram gave him the choice. He says, I'm going to choose either way. He says, but I'm going to make this choice for my own. I'm going to give Lot the choice to pitch either in the luscious land or in the desert. He says, but I am already made my choice. I'm going to serve God wherever I be. I'm going to serve God wherever I be. And so Lot has this choice, and he pitches his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he pitches his tent in a way of life to be changed.
I will say, I'm going to say this as my last sub-point to point two. The temptation is a lot greater in the blessed land than it is in the desert. Now listen, I can go on and on and on. In the Corinthian church, Paul wrote them a letter to the Corinthians that we don't have. And he says, I wrote to you a time before not to get away from the world altogether because they need you. You're the light in their darkness. He says, but now I write unto you this letter because y'all just can't make it. You keep taking in from the world and taking in from the world, and it's manipulating and changing you. And it's making you worse than you ever were. He says, now to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians, he tells them, now I tell you to leave them all together. Don't even eat with them. Don't be their neighbors. Get as far away from the world as you possibly can. And this is where I do my pastoring. I'm going to give you a choice. As a pastor, I've told you where the blessings come from. They come from a path that is a personal relationship with God. Take the easy roads, if you will. Take the blessings. Take the money. But the Bible tells us that what is this? I don't want to mess this up. I didn't have it up there. It is harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than the camel through the eye of a needle. And what that means is this. It's not talking about the needle in which we speak. It's talking about the place where it comes into town, the water reservoir comes to town. And to do that, the camel would have to get on all of its knees and shuffle to get through there. And that was the only way possible. You can be rich and be holy. You can have a blessed life and be faithful to God. But the more blessings and ease that you take on your life, the easier it is to succumb to them. I am not a dictator. So I'm going to give you two options. And it's the two options that I've preached from day one. I want you to feel comfortable here. Can I get an amen? But I don't want you to get complacent. I don't want you to stay in the places of ease. And I want you to be willingly to go out to the deserts and meet with God. I want you to understand that the blessings are ours, but we're only called to rest one day a week, and the other six are hard labor. Can I get an amen? We should develop in us a grit of knowing what it means to work and to build and to glorify God with the workings of our hands. I want you to be successful, and I want you to be grand, and I want you to have this life that is built with wealth and prosperity, but I don't want you to forsake God in the process. This is our calling, to abide. It doesn't talk about your life. It talks about where you pitch your tent. It's not talking about the blessings, though the blessings are a fringe benefit with God. Can I get an amen? It's about the relationship. I am challenging you as people. I have given enough of our members enough rope to do whatever you wish. You can go to the world. I'm telling you, I'm going the other way. Continue reading the story. You want to know what happens to Lot? He burns down the whole town. He gets into a place and he gets into a lifestyle with him and his kids, and everybody goes wrong, and his life crumbles down, and God's had enough, and he burns Sodom and Gomorrah down because of its wickedness. Lot chose that world a little bit at a time because he pitched his tent. Last point, and we'll close. I'm going to shock a lot of y'all about this point, but God doesn't have anything to do with this sermon. It's all about men's choices. Now, granted, we see God in the background, but he's not in the foreground. He's not in the text. Abram gives Lot a choice. Abram takes the choice, and Abram chooses the world. That's the whole text in a nutshell. Do y'all see that? Has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with it. It all boils down to the choices that we make. And he chose not to abide with Abram and his God. He chose to abide in the world. And that's what ended up being Lot's failure. God was not a part of the story. The story was a real proverb of the choices of men and the temptation to leave that which is known. Lot wanted to make a name for himself. Lot wanted to be his own man. Lot wanted to live in the moment. Lot did not want to leave the blessings. Lot did not want to strive for hardships. And none of those things are bad. Say that with me. None of those things are bad. I don't want you to leave these doors and say, well, preacher thinks that I should be a curmudgeon and never do anything nice and never have cable and never have a Dr. Pepper. No. That's the exact opposite of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you can have your blessings, whatever they may be. Do whatever it takes to make your spirit at ease, and you love it. But make sure that you don't sacrifice your relationship with God in doing those things. Continue with the text with me. Verse 11 to verse 13. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves one for another. And that was more than just in distance. We know that Lot separated himself from his family. He chose the world over Abram. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I'm going to give you enough rope at the end of the service to make your own decisions, because I am not a dictator. I'm a road sign. I know I'm a young buck, but I've seen enough of the world to recognize what's good and what's bad. Can I get an amen? Amen. I have seen enough people who are part of the family of God, and they pitched in Sodom, and I see the devastation that it brings. I have seen the people who sacrificed their efforts to make the world a better place, and the only focus on themselves, and I've seen it ruin their relationships with their spouses. Let that sink in. I have seen men who were sacrificial and they did everything for this church and other churches. I have seen men and women who did everything to God, and then at one point they cut the line and they say, I'm done being the good guy. It's time for me to look at myself, which there's nothing wrong with that if they come back. Now listen, last little thing and we're done. Last illustration. COVID's put us in this weird place where we have to stay home. I'm all for staying home. Can I get an amen? I'm all for staying safe. I'm all for being healthy. I'm all for the ease. What I'm not for is making that permanent. I don't know about you, but the people on TV have never done anything for me. Preachers and actors alike. They may inspire me and they may help me, but they have never come to my door. They have never given me a sandwich. They have never helped me in my time of need. They've never called me to check on me. I want you to recognize that if there's a time and our place, this is this time and this is this place where the world is pushing us to them over and over and over again. I'm all for TV. I'm all for radio. I'm all for doing the things of ease, but what I am not for is cutting people out of my life. That's what the world's doing. It's not just COVID. The world's trying to push you away from your parents. It's trying to push you away from your brothers and your siblings. Amen? It's trying to push you away from your neighbors. It's been doing that for years. It's trying to push you away from your church. It's trying to push you away from your kids. It's trying to push you away from the things that mean the most. And most of all, it's trying to push you away from God. Abide. I'm all for you in the plains. In the well-watered plains of this world, I want the best for you. But when it comes down to pitching your tent, I want you to look back at God and not look at Sodom. When you look at Sodom, you wake up discouraged and you go to bed discouraged. When you pitch your tent at Gomorrah, all you see is filth and all you see is anger and all you see is deceit. But if you pitch it toward God, all that stuff's behind you. I choose blessings of God rather than blessings of this world. And I hope you do the same. And it's your choice as we pray today. With every head bowed, with every